the black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Si Jesus nagahigugma sa tanan kabataan, mapula kag maputi, maitim kayo manggi. Si Jesus nagahigugma sa tanan. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Mahal ni Jesus ang bata sa buong sanglibutan. Mapula at maputi, maitim kayo manggi. Si Jesus wala napili.
Kids, again, for being involved. I know it's hard with all these different language buzz, but did you know that we're a world church? That's not very normal for most churches, you know, if they're smaller, but we are a world church. And if I remember, I went to the General Conference 2010, and the best part that I loved about it was the cultural parade. Has anyone ever been to the GC, the General Conference? It is amazing to see so many different cultures just come in there and dressed up, singing all the different tongues of the language of the world. And so I wanted to give you a taste of that today. We wanted to give you a taste of that today, that even our children are able to teach us that there is such a diversity in our church, in this world, that I think God wanted us to experience, that I think God really wanted us to have. And so today we learned about the Tower of Babel and the call of Abraham. Now, the question that I pose for the sermon is, what's in a name? So how do you think these two stories connect? Anyone have a guess? What do you think connects these two stories? He punished them. Uh-huh. Yeah, he said, I won't send a flood, but they evidently didn't believe him because they built a tower, right? It's going to reach up to the heavens. It's going to be safe. But what did they say when they were like, let's go build a tower so we can make a name for who? Ourselves. And then what happened in the call of Abraham? God said, I will make your name what? Great. And who's making it great? God. Did you know, when I was doing some study on this, that this isn't just a coincidence? In the Bible, when you read it, there are lineages before the story of the Tower of Babel, and there are lineages before the story of the Call of Abraham. And they're right next to each other. Now, I know often when we read about lineages, we kind of just gloss over them, right? We think, oh, okay, someone begat someone who begat someone. Yes, we know. The world grew, and things happened. But there's a reason things are mentioned in the lineages. And before the Tower of Babel, you have one of Noah's sons, Shem, being mentioned, and he has a son who has a son who has a son who has a son who has a son named Eber. Now, Eber has two sons. And right before this Tower of Babel, you have the son named Joktan, and then you have the Tower of Babel. And then it seems like it goes back. And it says, and Shem had some kids. It's like you just told us about Shem having kids. And he had some kids who had a bear. Oh, he's back again. And then it just says he has a son named Peleg. Fully forgot about Joktan and just focuses on Peleg. And then you have the call of Abraham. Now, I want you to try to take a guess what the Hebrew, biblical ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew word for name is. You want to take a guess? The ancient Hebrew word for the word name. Shem. The way that you say name in Hebrew is Shem. And so I think that Moses was a very bright man, and he made a point here. Here is Shem, one of Noah's sons, whose name means name. And here is the Tower of Babel, where they want to make a name for themselves. And then you keep about 321 years later or so, here comes Abram, who we know better as Abraham, which is the plural because he was the father of us all. And he is given a name by God. And it will be made great. I will make your name great. I will be, you don't believe me. I think people don't believe me. So let's turn to Genesis. Genesis 12. And this, I would say, is probably one of the strongest, not the strongest, but it's a prophecy in the Bible that starts our church. This is where the rescue mission, as if you've ever read the storybook Bible, the Jesus storybook Bible, she likes to call it, the rescue mission began right here. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I, God, will make your name great, your nation, make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And this is the part we always forget. And in you, all, what word is that? All the families of the earth shall be blessed. One family. God chose one family to bless all of the earth. Now we look at the two stories, and there are lot of similarities besides just that. So I kind of just glossed over. I'm sure you can find a lot more similarities. But both have underscore the meaning or the importance of name, which if you don't name in the Bible is kind of how you understand someone's character, their importance, their influence. It's a definition of who they are. When in relationship with gods, if you knew the name of a god, you could control that god. You could command that God to do what you want. So when Moses comes up, if you were learning the story of Moses, and he says, what is your name so I can tell the people of Israel who you are? He gives him the most vague name in the world. I am who I am. And Hebrew can also mean I will be who I will be. You can't make me be someone that you want me to be. I am God. You can't tell me to do what you want. I have a plan that's better than you will ever know. So you cannot control me. So don't ask me my name. Because what you need to know is what name I'm going to give you. You need to know what name you will have in me. We also have, in these two stories, a hunger for power. There's this relationship with power and the want to be influential. Now, kids, what does power mean? Do you know what power means? It's when, like, you watch a superhero maybe, and he says, "I'm powerful," or what does that usually mean? "I'm powerful, strong." See, we have a kid at heart. Kids, what does power mean? Tell me, you know this. Superheroes, they go, pow, power, what's power? Strength. It can also, what else? What's power? I missed that one, but I think it was funny. Control. I think I saw Daddy whispering in your ear. But yes, you are right. Control. Influence. I get to do whatever I want. It gives you superpowers. And what are superpowers? Name some superpowers. You can fly. You can shoot fireballs. Yeah, you can do things that are extraordinary. And so they wanted to be powerful by their own means, by building a tower. And this I actually learned from Elder Ken Cox, I don't know if he's here, but if you look at the lineage of Ham, there's a son named Nimrod. And it says that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And he is the one who built the Tower of Babel. He is the one who dictated what was going to happen at the Tower of Babel. And later on, he passes and his wife says, "Oh, he's a god." He was so powerful on earth that he was not only a mighty builder, but he was also a mighty hunter, which was amazing at that time to have that connection. So he was a god. They wanted to be gods. We'll make a name for ourselves so we can be God. We don't have to depend on God. Because we will be God. Right? This is what they wanted. And they thought the way to do this was to build a big fortress where they could protect themselves from not only those around and maybe even nature, but maybe even protect themselves from God. Because they didn't want God. They didn't need God. Now, both stories also required God to come down. God came down in the Tower of Babel to confuse the language. And God came down in the call of Abraham to say, "You will be a blessing." Both came down, and we understand coming down as judgment. And I almost see this as two different kinds of judgment, because when you look in the Bible, you have two different kinds of judgment. You have judgment where something is done away with or changed drastically, and you also have the judges who would sit at the door or under a tree and say, "Bring me your problems and I'll find a way to fix them." He mediated. He fixed problems. So judgment is often a means to fixing a problem. And in here we have a judgment of stopping what they're doing so they were confused. And here we have a judgment of, we're going to fix a problem. There is a problem in this earth and I'm calling you out to fix this problem. Both required traveling. Both One story, they came together because they weren't going to disperse, they weren't going to scatter, they weren't going to go anywhere, they weren't going to travel. We're going to stay here all together and make ourselves great. But then God had to make them travel, change their name. And here, Abram, who was apparently part of a nomadic mother who wanted to move around, because it says right before they had moved into Cana, and God says, "Go. Go somewhere. Go out of your country. Go. Away from where you are, because I am going to make your name great. I am going to make you into a great nation. Go in my name." And both deal with unity and pride. Now, the reality that we have in our church and the reality that we have experienced today is that there's different kinds of unity, right? There are different kinds of unity. There's a unity that requires us to learn something new, such as different languages. And there's a unity that requires us to not change at all, right? There's a selfish unity and there's a selfless unity. And we'll get back to that a little more. But first, I want to recognize that with the scattering that was going on, the traveling that was going on, there was with it a mission. Both of them had a mission. right? This one had traveling as a mission to get people out. And this one had a mission of traveling to bring people to God, to bring the gospel to the world. So I need 8 volunteers. Come on up. We learned about, I got 4, so I'm gonna give you this. This is gonna be 1 team, 1, 2, 3, and 4, okay? I need 2 more. Okay, and do I have another team? Okay, let's make them 1, 2, 3, 4. This team is gonna go right over here, and then 1, 2, 3, 4. You guys can try to cheer them on, the ones who are here extra. And we are going to learn about some teamwork here. Okay, I want you guys to get in a circle, and you're gonna grab this string, you're gonna grab this string, you're gonna grab this string, and you're gonna grab this string. Now, come on, walk over here. Now, you see this tower. Can everyone see the tower? Your job is that you have to open this rubber band big enough to go around this cup and pick it up. And then after you pick it up before, we're going to do this together. So you guys listen, same thing you have to do. After you pick up the cup, I want you to choose someone out in the audience to give the cup to. Okay, you have 3 cups, you have 3 choices. And you guys have to work together to decide who you're going to give it to and work together to pick up the cup. Can you do that? Okay, ready? You guys need 2 more. What happened to 2 more over here? We have 1, 2. You guys can go ahead. I need 2 more over here. Come on, guys. You need 1 string. Here, we'll come in a circle. Come over here in a circle. 1 string, 2 string. There we go. And here's your tower. Okay? Ready, set, go. Now, if you want to be chosen, you can go ahead and raise your hand. Do you have the cup? Go, give it to someone. You can just keep it. Enjoy. How are we doing? You guys can do it again. You have 3 cups. You guys have to, a string came off. Okay, let's just do 3 people then, unless we can tie it real fast. Okay, there you go. Here, pull. Oh, I don't know if it's going to open enough. You could do it. 2 more cups. You can do it. Now, if you haven't already guessed, I think this is a symbol of what God wants us to do. The Tower of Babel, they built it in hopes that it would stand forever. But Ellen White says that because it was unfinished, it stood as a symbol of their failure. It was there unfinished because they were confused and never got to finish. Did it rip? That's okay. This string is very slippery. There you go. Maybe we'll just do 2 cups. I think we're good. There you go. Go give it to somebody. Good job. Okay, we have 2 cups for any volunteers who want a cup. Go give it to someone. Go ahead and give it to your mom. Thank you guys so much. Can we give him a hand? That was hard. But kind of like what God was wanting at the call of Abraham, what he was wanting to happen was that the gospel was going to go out. It wasn't going to stay in one spot. All the gifts that he had given his people, he wanted to be spread out. He wanted to go places, just like the gospel represented as these red cups. It wasn't supposed to stay in a tower format, as impressive as it may be. It was meant to go out into the world. Go and make disciples in all the nations, right? This is what we know. This is what we preach. This is our reality. Now, something else that different kinds of of unity that's happening here is that there is a unity that's based on fear. Now, what story do you think has unity based on fear? Which one would you say? Tower of Babel or Call of Abraham? Which one has unity based on fear? Tower of Babel. They were scared. So they came together and they built a tower. But over here, when God called Abraham and the people that he had chosen through Abraham, it was a unity of what? A faith, a unity of love, a unity that came out of what God wanted. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Amen? Perfect love casts out all fear. You have no reason to be afraid. You are a child of God, called at the same point when Abraham was called and brought us together. And you have no reason to be afraid to share the gospel. You have no reason to be afraid to tell people about the Lord. You have no reason to be afraid to believe in God. Amen? This is what brought us together. This is what unity God wanted. He didn't want unity out of fear. And something I realized in this story, God did not want the unity that was here because it was also unity of selfishness. Now, does anyone know what selfishness means? Everyone's looking away from me. What does it mean to be selfish? Think of yourself. You only think about yourself? Me first. Me, me, me. My daughter, when she learned mine, oh, there was no end to it. Mine, mine, mine. Mine, mine, mine. Didn't matter what it was. Didn't matter if she wanted it or not. Mine. Now, what story had unity out of selfishness? Tower of Babel. They had selfish motives, right? None of them were willing to give anything up. They wanted to build the tower because they wanted to be safe, because they wanted to be powerful, because they wanted to have a name. Selfishness. Now, I wonder what would have happened if they completed. Self-unity out of selfishness is a timed bomb waiting to explode. Because there cannot be true unity. If you are unified for selfish purposes and selfish reasons, you will destroy each other. Right? Is this is what I would see. This is reality. If you come together because you want to be safe, the minute somebody else comes on your property, you may shoot them. Right? If you want to be safe, if you want to be powerful, the minute someone else is competing for whatever job you want or competing for whatever position you want, you will see a way to destroy them because you are being selfish, right? That's what it is. I want to do what I want to do, and I can go ahead and use you as long as I meet the means that I want. But the minute that I get what I want, you're nothing to me, right? We see this in movies all the time, and we see this in our society, where I will use you to climb the ladder, and the minute I get to the top, I don't know who your name is, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you want. You know, you're just begging me for money or whatever. But unity out of selflessness. Now, what story? What comes to mind? This is what came to mind of a story of God's people being selfless and unifying. Anyone ever read the story of Acts? What happened when people, after the Pentecost, which is reversal, if you've noticed, of the Tower of Babel, what happened? They were going out and they were given different languages and they preached it out and people were converted. And what was the first thing they did when they were converted? Share. Took everything they had and sold it. There's even a story of a guy who didn't take everything he had and sold it, and he was condemned. Right? They took everything they had, sold it, so that there was no one among them who had want. This is true unity, where you are selfless. The only reason you come together is because of God. You give up all that you want. You give up all that your agenda may be, and you turn to God and fellow believers. And this is what this community is. This is what this community is striving to be, so that we are selfless. Well, now, kids, that might be a little different word. What does selfless mean? Sharing. Anyone happen to learn how to share in sign language? This is share. You guys do this? This is share. You get some, I get some. Share. That was one of the first words we had learned for Hadassah. Share. And she loved it. She didn't know exactly what it meant, but she loved it. Selfless. We share. Or even, I give you all I have and trust that I will be taken care of, either by God or by those around me. Because I trust this community so much that I know I will be carried through. Now, this illustration is a little more intense. For all of those, the kids, you have a little white sheet of paper in your bag. And adults, some of you have a paper under your seat. So everyone look under your seat. If you found a paper, a little sheet, a little slice of paper, you can go ahead and hold it up. Did anyone find it in the congregation? I hope they stayed on. They kept trying to fall off. Yay, we have some in the congregation. Good. If you have a pen or paper, I want the adults who have a sheet of paper to write on there what you think the purpose of the church is, or why, and better, let's put it this way, why community? Why do we need a church community? Okay, go ahead and write your answer on that little piece of paper. Why do we need a church community, or want a church community? Why do you come to church? Why, whatever. What reason do you have to be part of this community? Why you come? Now, kids, I want you to write on that piece of paper a virtue. Do you know what a virtue is? Love is a virtue. Hope is a virtue. Faith. Things that are good. You can even put sharing or selflessness. Things that God wants us to do or to be. Okay? Can you do that? Can you write on that? And after you've written it up, I want you to bring it to the front. Has anyone ever made links in school, the little links that go together? To end, I thought the best way for us to see how God wants us to be unified, how God wants us to be together, is to have links that come together to form a long chain that reaches out. But the only thing that really links us is our reasons to be here and what God strives us to be. So once you have what your answer is written on your paper, please bring it up here. Don't be shy, come on up. And we're gonna make a long chain. Thank you, yeah, thank you. I'll have you do the tape. I'll switch you.
You want me to do this?
Taku, can you help? Can you put the tape on him? You want it as a wristband. Now, is it okay if I read some of these? Love. That was a good one. To build each other up. Strengthen each other for the challenges ahead. Peace and patience. To be good. To love. To be kind. To have faith. God wants us to make good and wise choices. Yeah, to teach the gospel, that's a good one. Be kind and loving. Thank you. To be blessed and to bless and encourage another in our Christian walk. Meet others of similar faith, to be encouraged. Amen. Praise and gratitude to God. Receive the Spirit and its fruits, to support each other, and to mentor to others with goodness as a support. To be better. I like that one. To be better. Amen? That was from a child. To be better. I just need to be better. It's hard to be better sometimes by yourself. I always like to talk about when, before I got married, I was perfect. Before I met Jamie, I was perfect. There was nothing wrong with me. And then you get married and you realize, that's the truth. You have to sometimes change. Being in community makes us realize just how much we have to grow and just how much more we have to learn about God and ourselves. Anyone who's married, you know you've had to change to some extent, right? If it just means putting the toilet roll a different direction or putting the seat down. It can also mean being patient. Oh, there you go. To love. Now, I like that the love one was the most repeated. Because this is probably the hardest thing to do in life, is to love. Right? This is one of the, there we go, the biggest struggles that we have. Now, here we go. I was half expecting this to be very, very long, but I like it anyway. This is our chain. This is our church. This is the reasons that we come to be here together. And these are the reasons that we worship our Lord. So as a community of faith, as we look at these two stories and we see the two different kinds of unity that can exist, I hope that we recognize that God wants a different unity. And this unity comes through diversity, comes in diversity. It seems like it's only possible as we experience diversity. So all the differences that we have, you know, when you're married, the differences you have from spouses, when you're in this community, the differences you have from those around you right next to you, they can actually be a benefit to us. We may disagree on things, we may agree totally, but there's a reason for that, so that we can grow together and to never give up on each other, but to always lift each other up in Christ. Thank you. Dear Lord, God of many different languages, God of many different cultures, the Lord who has brought us here and brought us together, God, help us to continue to listen to who you are and what you want us to do as a faith community. Help us to come together as broken and different as we are, so that we can turn to you and know what our mission is, to know what our purpose is. Because even though we are weak and broken, Lord, you have chosen us. You have called us to be here at this time and in this community. So help us to never forget that you have given us a mission, a calling, a purpose, something to do than just to sit around and think about ourselves. Lord, we think about you and we look at you and we are encouraged to share your love with others. Please give us the strength and the courage and the bravery to do so, so that we can have many different people in heaven with us, Lord. We love you and we are amazed by you. In your name we pray. Amen.